Well, how are you doing, 5th and 6th grade?
Good!
I'm not sure what that means, but the drone probably means you're doing well. Good. See, some of you are getting close to meeting your haircuts. That's good to see. Very good to see. You over here. I need to have a clinic with you afterwards to show you how to get a real haircut. You know what? I'll just call your dad. Tell him you need a little closer up here. A little closer. Keep you nice and cool. All right, today we're... That's good. Very good. You're much closer. It's like the preacher. But today we have a preacher with hair. Mr. Aaron Burke is with us today. He's coming to us, and he has been... how many of you have been to summer camp at the Anchorage? Okay, a good handful of you, several handfuls. Okay, all four of my hands are full now. Good. And he has been there 11 years with his wife and their two young men. I think, what, they 6 and 4? 5th and 6th? 5th and 7th. 5th and 7th grade. And Zach and Conley, right? Conley's the 12-year-old.
That's correct.
And Zach is 10. And so he's going to come and talk to you about one of his missionary heroes. At least I hope so, because that's what I planned. And if he doesn't, then we'll be adequately entertained with whatever he brings you from God's Word today. And I hope that you brought your Bible and that you're ready to follow along. And if he doesn't go to a verse right away, that's okay. You're not going to let your Bible be a distraction to you. You're going to leave it alone in your lap until he gets to it. And all right, so give him your undivided attention. Not sure what that means. Usually my eyes look at the same place, so they're never really divided. Sometimes that's a problem. Anyway, so, all right, so let's have Mr. Burke come on up here. We appreciate you being here, sir, and I think you're going to enjoy this. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Bill.
All right, go ahead and take your Bibles then and turn to Matthew chapter 6.
All right, so I'm glad you've been to camp. How many of you are going to come back again sometime?
Good, good, good.
All right. How many of you are in fifth grade? How many of you are in sixth grade then? That's everybody else. I was trying to think today if fifth or sixth grade was which one I liked more. What do we do in history in sixth grade? Is that when we do geography or is that fifth grade? Like, it seems like in fifth or sixth grade we just did tons of geography. Is that fifth grade? It's both. Okay. All right. Okay. I think sixth was my favorite year, and I don't know why. What would you say? Are you in sixth grade if you like, which was better, fifth or sixth? Don't say because of teacher. Sixth because I'm older, right? I'm older, right? All right. I learned some cool stuff then. I enjoyed it. Like you said, my boys are fifth and seventh. I think, really, that's one of my favorite ages, okay? Not just because my boys are there. When I was in college... My chapel seat one time was right next to where the sixth graders sat, and the fifth, sixth, and seventh grade actually. And so we would leave the building together and walk to lunch together. And I mean, they didn't know me, but I loved to talk to them and listen to them talk. And it was my favorite part of the day. I mean, it wasn't class, so that was what made it pretty fun. So, let's enjoy ourselves together. We're going to talk today about my favorite missionary hero, and my favorite missionary hero is George Mueller. Has anyone ever heard of George Mueller before? All right, what do we know about George Mueller? Anybody tell me anything? What's your name? Grace, tell me something about George Mueller. Okay, he had an orphanage. Very good. Anybody else have some pertinent facts? What's your name?
Amos,
tell me what you know.
He relied on God.
For the food, okay. All right. What's your name?
Braden.
Braden or Brandon?
Braden.
Okay, Braden, tell me what you know.
If people wanted to bring him something, he would take him. He would like God to provide.
Okay, all right. All right, very good. Anything else? What's your name?
Lewis,
go ahead.
Trusted in God a lot.
What's your name?
Victor,
go ahead.
I think he was German.
You think he was German? Okay. He's actually born in Prussia. Okay. All right. Then you can learn about that in geography class, exactly what it is. What is your name?
Miranda,
go ahead. What do you know? Very good. Okay. Let's talk about that issue right there. One day, when he had his orphanage, there was no food, right, to eat the next morning for breakfast. So, they sat down for breakfast and they prayed. And does anybody know what happened? What's your name?
Your place was big and he said if the Georgia mayor said let's pray for our food,
okay,
and all the kids really don't have any food, he said just let's all go to his place.
Okay.
And he thanked God for the food that they were going to eat, and so after they were done praying, there was a knock at the door, and there was actually
what kind of food did they get?
I know the milk wagon broke down.
The milk wagon broke down, right? And you said there was extra bread, right? So the baker came by, and the milk wagon broke down, and they had food, and they had milk. All right? Let's read from Matthew chapter 6. I have this really cool book that's written about George Mueller, and in that book is included lots of things that he wrote. And so he has written down his favorite Bible verses and Bible verses that he used in his ministry. And he starts right here. Matthew chapter 6. Did I tell you that already? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 says this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking a thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for these few minutes that we have together. We pray that you can be honored by the time we spend here in your word and remembering one of your servants. I pray that we then would be encouraged to realize who you are, that you are the true God, that you care for us, and that you answer prayer. And Lord, may we be willing to trust you with our needs, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, Christ says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Doesn't this sound exactly like George Mueller, doesn't it? I mean, the children get up in the morning and they're worried, and he says, we're not going to worry. We're just going to pray. We're going to thank the Lord, and he will do, we know that he is going to do these things. And so he says here in this passage that we should not be worried about those kinds of things. And listen, it's very easy to be worried about those kinds of things. It's very easy to worry about, not maybe if I'm going to eat, but what am I going to eat? How much am I going to get when we're at camp and people come in and they sit down at the table? Some people are already worried about how much they're going to get. They're already grabbing stuff off the plates and putting it on their plate before we sit down. We worry about, we have to have the latest kind of clothes and shoes. I mean, my son can turn on a basketball game or a soccer game and about 7 seconds tell me every set of shoes that everybody has on the court, right? But we can't be, he says in these verses, we cannot worry about those things. Now, what's interesting is, we know about George Mueller, we know that he liked to pray, and we know that he liked kids, but did you know that he did much more than that, and I'm going to say this, this is going to sound a little weird, but he didn't open an orphanage because he loved kids so much that he knew that he needed a place to stay. That wasn't the main reason why he opened an orphanage, which sounds a little weird, right? I mean, who doesn't love kids? Who doesn't want to see kids helped. The main reason he opened an orphanage was this, that he believed that God, who did great things in the Old Testament, was the same God when he was alive. George Mueller lived in the 1800s. He was born a little more than 200 years ago. But he lived over 90 years. And so he died just a little more than 100 years ago. And he said, you know, the God that exists now in our day is the same God that exists back in the Old Testament. And so what happened was there were lots of people who were living in his day who weren't really trusting God. They didn't really believe that if they were to pray, that God would answer. And so there were tons of children who were ended up in what they would call poorhouses. They would go to these places to be taken care of because their parents didn't have money or they didn't have parents. And so they were worried, always worried that they weren't, again, they weren't worried about what they were going to eat. They weren't concerned whether they were going to get a quarter pounder or a double quarter pounder after school. They were concerned as to whether they were going to eat at all. And he wanted them to see that they could pray and ask God, and God would answer them. There were other adults who were working who didn't make much money, and they would work. They would get up and they would go out and work at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they would come back at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And they would work all day, and George Mueller would talk to them and say, why don't you work less and read your Bible more? And they would say, listen, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. That didn't make any sense to George Mueller, because he would say, listen, you need to be trusting God. Because what does it say, or what do we just read? It says in verse 31, take no thought, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth the need that ye have of all of these things. And so there are people going out and working, and they would say, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to trust God. And George said, there's something wrong with this. We need to realize that there is a God who cares for us and will meet our needs. There were businessmen who made a lot of money, and they would go out and cheat. They would make deals, they would promise one thing and do another so they could make more money because they just wanted to have more money. And George said, no. Why don't you trust God? He'll give you all that you need, and then you don't have to cheat. Then you can be honest. So George Mueller ran into all of these issues, and so he said, I need to find a way that I can show three things. Okay? Three things that he wanted to show. Number one, he wanted to show that God is real. Right? That God is a real God, and that He is in heaven, and that He rules the universe. Number two, he wanted to show that God was gracious. Okay, that God is a good and gracious God. And then finally, he wanted to show that God answers prayer. You know, an orphanage wasn't the only thing that George Mueller did. He opened schools. There were 120 schools that he opened across England. Right? He had, in his lifetime, he ministered to, there was like a little over 10,000 children that came to the orphanage. But there were 120,000 kids that came to these schools that he opened up across England. He also did missionary support. He also wrote and supplied the money for tracts and Bibles to be given out. He spent the last 18 years of his life traveling around the world giving the gospel. He spent millions and millions of dollars in his lifetime on all of these ministries. But like someone said over here, he never asked. Okay? His determination was this: I'm not going to ask anybody for anything. I am only going to pray. And so, if someone would say to him, what do you need? He wouldn't. He was very hesitant to tell them. But again, you understand, it wasn't just, he didn't just go into it and say, you know, I really love kids and I want to see kids cared for. And how can I do this? Well, maybe we should pray. No, he did this. He said, God is a real God, and God is good, and God answers prayer. So how can I help everybody? How can they all see that God does these things? He said, okay, we'll open an orphanage. We'll open an orphanage, and we won't ask for help other than we'll ask the Father. And so the father provided bread. The father provided milk. There was another time that the boiler broke down. The boiler was the mechanism that provided heat. It was in the middle of the winter. The winds were blowing. And it was going to be too cold for the workmen to come out. And it was going to take several days for them to get it done if they just worked in the daylight hours. And he was worried about the children freezing. And so he prayed that the Lord would work it out. So, number one, that the workmen would come. And number two, that they would work through the night. Because he didn't want them to work, he didn't want them to work during the day on Monday and then work during the day on Tuesday. And it would be 2 days before the kids got heat. He said if they would just come Monday and work by Tuesday morning, if they worked through the night, we'd have heat. Well, he got a hold of the workmen. The workmen came, and just a couple of hours before the workmen came, all the north wind, bringing all the cold air, stopped blowing. And the wind started blowing from the south, and it started warming things up. And so it was warm enough that the workmen came. And the workmen said, well, our schedule has gotten changed, and we're committed now to go somewhere tomorrow morning. And so really, if it's okay with you, brother, we need to be able to work all day and all night. Well, what do you think George Mueller says? Well, praise the Lord. George Mueller was on a ship one time going across the Atlantic. And he had to get to Canada. And there was a terrible fog. I mean, you couldn't see anything. You know, I know sometimes even when we're on our lake and the fog comes in the morning, you know, you're lost. Right? You have no idea. You just have to wait until the fog lifts. And so he went and talked to the captain. And the captain told him, he says, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it. Okay? You're just going to be stuck. Well, what do you think he did?
He prayed, right?
He prayed. And so he said, hey, can I go down to the map room and pray? And the captain says, yeah, sure. I mean, go down there if you want to, but you're going to be stuck. So he went down there, and the captain went down there with him, and George Mueller prayed. Well, the captain started to pray, and George stopped him. He said, no, you don't need to pray. And they went back up on deck. You know what happened, right? The fog lifted. Yeah. Now, you've named for me 1040. Yeah, right. Okay. You've named for me some stuff that we know George Mueller did. Okay, now, let's talk about some things that God did in the Old Testament. Just think of some cool stuff that God did in the Old Testament. Part of the Red Sea. Fiery bush. Didn't burn up. The serpents. Okay, yes. Water from the rock. Reviving a child, very good. Yes? Raising Lazarus from the dead. Is that yours?
Helping a blind man see.
Creating the temple from Egypt. You did what? Yes, the 10 plagues in Egypt. That's what I thought you said. I want to make sure we're on the same page. 10 plagues in Egypt. I mean, those were crazy stuff. Remember the frogs? Right? I just can't even imagine. Yes. Heal the lepers.
He helped
whenever somebody was in danger, like Elijah. He ate for 40 days. Yep, ravens brought food. Protected them, cared for
them, yes. He stopped the storm.
Stopped the storm. Yes, right. And anointed his lips, yes.
When they were leaving his Egypt, God showed them the way during the night with a fire, cloud of fire, and in the morning a cloud.
Perfect. One more.
Walked on water.
All right. Remember too, Joshua prayed, and the day was extended. The sun stayed up. Okay. And then do you remember that cool story where the prophet, where Elijah, the prophet's servant goes outside and the men are there to take him over. And the prophet says, hey, don't worry, there are more of us than there are of them. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then God opens his eyes and looks up and hears all these chariots. And I mean, that's been cool. Like, that would be cool. That's some amazing stuff. That's some amazing stuff. What George Mueller was saying was this. We serve the same God. And he hasn't stopped doing that kind of stuff. He wants to help us and answer our needs. So what can we learn from George Mueller? One thing that I want to learn, and I want to work at, and I want to encourage you to work at, is we need to remember that God is real. And we need to pray. So what I mean, every time now, let me ask this. When George Mueller had a problem, what did he do?
Pray.
Every time you have a problem, what do?
Pray.
Really? Okay. Yeah, all right. Right, that's what I thought. Do we pray every time we have a problem?
No,
we don't. We try to fix it ourselves. We go ask mom or dad. We go ask the teacher. We complain. We sit down and cry. We have all kinds of options, right? But as we were talking about George Mueller earlier, and I talked about a problem, you knew what he did. He prayed. Why was he doing that? He was doing that so he could show everybody else that God is a real God that loves us and answers prayer. Why don't we do the same thing? I mean, why don't we decide we're going to do... Well, let's decide to do that. Why don't we decide today, when there's a problem, I'm going to pray so that I can get what I want? No. No. You know, one thing we try to learn at camp is to pray. And so we've been working at it. And we've seen some neat things. We've had three different people lose their wedding band in the lake. Now, okay, then there's four. that I knew of, we lost a wedding band in the lake. Now, you can see the bottom. That doesn't matter when you drop the ring. Okay? I mean, if I drop it, then the water's moving. You know, if I hit a golf ball out into the lake, if I hit it pretty far, it takes about 30 days and it comes back to the shore. Because the wind blows and the water moves the sand and everything on it moves. So that sand covers is constantly moving down there. So you talk about trying to find a little ring in 9,000 acres of lake. It's pretty impossible. But you know what? In the three times that happened that I knew about it, we prayed about it, and guess what we did? We found it. One time, the guy came off the tube, the water was up to here, and he said, "I lost my ring." We said, and he was moving all around. And he was like, "Oh, don't worry about my ring." He's like, "No, stay right there." So he could mark where it was. Well, he didn't, and he moved around, and he said, "Well, we'll put this little buoy out here, we'll get kind of close." So we put the buoy out there. We prayed about it. We came back the next day. We went out. We prayed about it. We went under. We found it in 3 minutes. And it doesn't really matter how long it took us to find it. We weren't going to find it on our own. We found it because God found it for us. Earlier this year, last year really, right before Christmas, we had a lot of needs that we needed at camp. And so I went to my Sunday school class at church and I said, we need $10,000 this week. How many of you are good at math? Okay, good. I'm going to need your help in just a second. $10,000 we need this week. Let's pray. And I said, okay, we'll pray. So we started praying. And by Wednesday, we had $5,000. How much do we still need?
$5,000.
You guys are quick. That's good. By Thursday, we had $6,000. How much do we still need?
$4,000.
Boom. By Saturday, guess how much we had?
$10,000.
No, we had six. Guess how much we still need?
$4,000.
Very good. Sunday morning, 20 minutes before Sunday school class, I got a phone call. I don't usually get phone calls like this on Sunday morning before Sunday school class. I got a phone call. The guy on the other end says, Aaron, I'm sending a check. Now, this was really weird. He said this. I don't remember how much the check is for. But I know it's either $4,000 or $5,000. Did we make it? We made it. You know what? When we got the check, and then he said, listen, I don't trust the postal system. I want you to make sure you get over there on Monday and make sure it's there. Well, when we got there, now we know why he was a... Dude, you don't remember how much you wrote the check for? And you're so worried I go to the mailbox? When we got there, we pulled out the check. It was $5,000. Reached back in and pulled out another check. Yeah, another check. $10,000. So, by the time we went to Sunday school, we knew we had at least $10,000. And by the time we got to Monday, we had $20,000. God answers our prayer. Let me tell you what. God answers the prayer even if you get tired of praying. Okay? God answers prayer even when you get tired of praying. Let me tell you this little story. We're going through this stuff at camp, and we're learning to pray, and we're praying, and we're seeing God answer, and God answers big needs, and God answers little needs, like a wedding band getting lost. Because I'm going to challenge you. I want you to try to find something when you start to pray that God doesn't care about. All right? You're not going to be able to go and go, oh, well, God doesn't care about that. Because in the passage we just read, He even cares about the birds that are flying. He cares about the grass that isn't even going to be here tomorrow, but He makes sure that it's beautiful today. So I was in the backyard of my house, and I was working with a guy at camp, and we were putting together something. I don't remember what. And it had these tiny little screws. Now, I was really dumb, because I was working with tiny little screws in the backyard, in the grass. You know, I was dumb. Alright, I'm just going to admit it. I was dumb. And I only had enough screws for whatever project I was doing. If I lost one, the whole thing wasn't going to work. And so, of course, I dropped one into the grass. So what should I do? Well, of course you got the right answer, because that's what we're talking about. But you know what I... This is what I thought. I'm going to confess this to you today. I was laying down on my face trying to find the screw, and I said this, you know what? I've been praying for everything and God's been answering. I'm going to find this on my own. Isn't that a dumb thing to say? But that's how our heart works. We go, I don't know if I need help. So I started looking on my own. Because I was like, you know, is He really going to answer? I'm just going to do this myself. How long do you think it took me to find the screw? Never! Okay, never! I wasn't going to find that screw. Then I looked at the other guy working with me and I said, you know what, I've been sitting here thinking I was going to find it on my own and I shouldn't have done that. And I'm going to ask Him to pray right now. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for my lack of faith. And I asked the Lord to help us find the screw. How long do you think it took us to find the screw? Right away. Okay? Right away. Right away. Why am I telling you that story? I'm telling you that story because I want you to know that God is real. And I want you to know that God is good. And I want you to know that God answers prayer. I don't know how many of us are in here, but every one of us could be a missionary. Right? With that goal in mind. We could be just like George Mueller. We could let people know that God is real, and that God is good, and that God answers prayer. So when you have a problem today, what should you do? You should pray. So if I came back next year and I said, when you have a problem, what do? You can all say, pray. And when I say, really? You can say, yes. Right? You don't have to go, oh, well, okay, I didn't do that. But let's make much of God. Okay? Let's glorify God. And we can do it by praying and seeing Him answer. Lord, we thank You that You love us. We thank You that You're a good God. We thank You that You hear and answer prayer. We pray that we would honor You by the way that we live, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.